Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again. Everybody say, Go show John again. Those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Then reading from Luke's gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured, And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The title of my message this morning is, Go Show John Again. Go Show John Again. Somebody said that we have to hear something 8 times before we retain it. My wife will testify that that's true in my case. There's things that she's been telling me for nigh unto 40 years now that probably she still needs to tell me again. But there is something to repetitiveness, repeating that again. And especially in John's case here, we know that John's ministry was over. He was incarcerated in prison. He did have the privilege of having visitors. His disciples came to him on a number of occasions, but he was cut off from the outside world. And they, his disciples, as we have just read, would bring him the accounts of miracles that Jesus was performing. Well, John knew who Jesus was. They were cousins. He remembered that it was the Lord himself that told John the Baptist, on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. He is the one. John was there when the heavens opened in the Jordan River, when Jesus, that is, and John were in the Jordan, and the heavens opened, and the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And the Father spoke out of heaven, and he said, This is my beloved Son. So John knew that. There was a time that Jesus was in the audience, and John pointed him out and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. But now, John is isolated. Many times, I think, just as John apparently was discouraged and the devil wrought doubt in his heart, so the devil does with us when we are isolated. Have you ever been in a great service where the Spirit of the Lord was moving? I think we had a missionary just talking a minute ago about that experience at youth camp. My, what a wonderful time it is. Have you ever been there and you said, this is so good that I wish my loved ones could be here? I've been in services like that. I can only think, how did John feel when his disciples were telling him, we saw the widow of Nain. They were carrying out her son on a bier, and Jesus stood and touched the bier and had compassion on them, and the young man sat up. I'm telling you, those disciples saw that with their own eyes, and they related the story to John the Baptist. But somehow, the doubt came. Somehow, after all, think about it. Jesus, we don't have any record of Jesus ever having visited John in prison. How would you feel if the Son of God was out and about, but he never took time to come and visit you in prison? Whatever the case was, John wanted reassurance, and he sent his disciples and said, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? Now, sometimes that happens to us. How many of you can remember a great thing that God did in your life? Maybe you can't remember it. Maybe you've kind of been isolated from the things of God, and you kind of are doubtful that it even really happened like you thought you remembered it. But I believe that it is the blessing of God and the miracles of God that gives us in the past to sustain us in the present. I believe in journaling your answers to prayer. And I like what we heard this morning. Somebody gave a praise report that the Lord had answered some prayers that had been prayed around here. Oh, my dear friend, I think many times, and I think over and over again, we just need to rehearse the blessings and the miracles that the Lord has done for us, lest we should forget them. I believe that David, when he faced Goliath, already had two notches on his shepherd's stick. He said, I remember there came out a lion, and as the Spirit came upon me, with my bare hands I killed that lion. And another occasion, a bear came against the flock, and the Spirit came on me again. And with my bare hands, I took that bear down. And I believe that this uncircumcised Philistine is no different. If God did it for me and with me and through me back then, God can do it with me and for me and in me again today. Let the miracles that God has done for you in the past sustain you in the present. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 106, verses 12 and 13, then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel. Don't be a no-show, but be a go-show. They even say that a cure for depression is write down 20 pleasant memories. And in your mind, go over those 20 pleasant memories, and it'll ward off depression. How many have got some good memories? The Lord has done some things for you. My pleasant things. I think that fits into Philippians chapter 4. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It is good for your mental health. It's good for your spiritual health. I'm going to give you my outline in advance this morning. Number one, point number one, when John was in isolation. Point number two, John heard of Jesus' reputation. Point number three, John sent a delegation to obtain information. Point number four, Jesus gave a demonstration. Point number five, to send John confirmation. Thank you for those amens. I can give it to you again later if you want it. I know that I lost the word, but praise the Lord. From John the Baptist went from a diet of locusts and wild honey to the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. He's in that jailhouse, and he said, go ask Jesus again. Are you the one that should come? or should we look for another? They came again and told John what he'd already heard, but he needed to hear it again. They told him of the reputation of Jesus. Simon Peter preached about the reputation of Jesus on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you." A man approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs. That's who Jesus was. That's what his approval rating was with God. And then again, down at Cornelius' house, Simon Peter told of the reputation of Jesus. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Praise the Lord. Can you just imagine how John felt and how his spirit was stirred in him again when those disciples told him over and over again about what the Lord had done? And so he sent them to ask that question, to obtain information. And Jesus, sometimes when people doubted his messiahship, he went to the scriptures. You remember the Emmaus brothers after the resurrection of Jesus? They're on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile journey. And Jesus appeared out of, I guess, out of the hedges or the woodwork or something, and incognito joined them for that 7-mile walk. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, "How come you guys are so sad today?" They said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard the events of the last few days? Jesus of Nazareth, we thought was a prophet. We put all of our confidence in him. We left everything to follow him. We thought that he would deliver us from the Roman rule. And now he's been crucified. And this is the third day since he was crucified, and some of the ladies in our group have come from the tomb, and they said that they saw him alive." Oh, Jesus, you know what Jesus' answer was? "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe." How would you like that? Jesus tell you that? "Oh, fool and slow of heart to believe. Should not the Messiah suffer?" And in the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, the Bible says that Jesus opened the scriptures from Moses to all of the prophets concerning him. When they got to Emmaus and they sat down at bread, Jesus took the bread and broke it and blessed it. And the Bible says then their eyes were open, and one of them said to the other one, it's. And about that time, he vanished from their sight. They'd spent however long it takes to walk 7 miles. They didn't go to bed. They got up and ran right back to Jerusalem, where the disciples were gathered behind closed doors, and said, "We'd like to add our testimony to Mary's testimony. We saw him. We saw him. He broke bread in our presence. He blessed the bread. Our eyes were open." Thank you for those amens. So on that occasion, Jesus' cure for their unbelief was open the prophets and the scriptures. On this occasion, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus simply said to John, "Go show John again the things that you have seen and heard." And so he gave them a demonstration. Luke, we read it, said in that very same hour, blind eyes were coming open. This wasn't ancient history. This was happening Johnny on the spot. Deaf ears were coming unstopped. Lame people were walking. Lepers were being cleansed in that hour. The dead folks were being raised. The son of the widow of Nain had just been raised from the dead. You want to talk about an up-to-date a demonstration? That was it. And that's what we need today. Let me tell you, I'm so grateful for the miracles of the first century, but I live in the 21st century. I must have a real living testimony of a real living Savior today. And I'm happy to report that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. My, he walked after his resurrection with them, coming and going for 40 days, and then he ascended. And let me tell you that the ascension is just as much, if not more, important than the resurrection and the crucifixion and the death and the burial. Because if Jesus had not ascended and sat on the Father's right hand, he could not have sent the promise of the Father. You and I couldn't have an indwelling third person of the divine Trinity like we can now in the Holy Ghost from heaven. I'm telling you the reason that it was alive this morning. I said to somebody when I got here, this is a live church. It's because you brought a river with you. John 7:37, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they should receive that had not yet come, because Christ had not yet been glorified. But now he has been glorified, and now they had that river, we do have that river bubbling up into us. Somebody said that there's some 19 major tributaries that contribute to the Mississippi River. Oh my, 19 major rivers along the way that make the Mississippi a mile wide around about Baton Rouge. Well, that's exactly what happens when you come to church. You bring your river, you bring your tributary with you, and I bring mine with me, and we join together. Brother Oliver gets on that keyboard and starts leading worship, and you start praising the King of Kings, and something starts stirring on the inside of you. And then what Paul told Timothy to do happens. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when you start stirring up the gift of God that is in you, that river starts bubbling up and flowing. And like the missionary sister said, you can have it anywhere because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Paul said to the Corinthian church, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, glorify God. I left out the most important part. He said, which you have of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The demonstration. We don't live in the first generation where there were so many demonstrations. We live in this generation, and I'm happy to report that there have been demonstrations of the same power by the same Jesus who is still alive and is right now present in our midst, because he said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The same Jesus is right here, right now, to help you, my dear friend. I was reading it again in Peter's epistle this week. Peter said that there's somebody that has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's Jesus. What do you need? Does your prayer request pertain to life? Do you need something to sustain you financially? Do you need food on the table? Do you need finances to fix the roof? The things of life? Let me tell you, he's given us everything that pertains to life. It's in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. You read it in Peter's epistle. And then he said, to godliness. Do you have any need that pertains to your godly living, to your life with God? It's in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus that is right here present with us right now. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. The disciples, that is Peter and John, had just been used of God in the third chapter of Acts to raise that man that was born lame from his mother's womb and sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. He said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the Bible says he took him by the right hand, and he pulled him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he stood and he walked and he leaped and he followed them, praising God, into the temple. Now, this was a miracle of healing. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a designation in the nine gifts of the Spirit between the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing. But in this passage of Scripture, when the council calls Peter and John on the carpet, they say these words, a miracle of healing. So it was not only a gift of healing, but it was a gift of miracles, because this man was born lame. You know, like I know, that a little toddler, before he can even get up and walk, he's got to stand, he got to pull himself up, he's going to fall down. You're not going to get mad at him, said, son, aren't you brighter than that? No, you know that this is the time of his life. He can't automatically walk. He got to pull himself up. He's going to fall, going to pull himself up, going to fall. He's going to teeter a little bit. He's going to go from the altar to the front chair. Mm-hmm. But not that guy. Not in the third chapter. The Bible says when he pulled him up, immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he was above 40 years of age and had never walked in his entire life, but he walked and he leaped and he followed them into the temple praising God. It was a miracle of healing. It was a miracle of healing. There was another time that Jesus returned to his own hometown, and the Bible says that he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Only he could heal a few sick folks. Hallelujah. That's what we cling to today. Is the fact that he heals a few sick folks among us. My, but I want that outpouring again. I want to rehearse it again. I want to read it again. I want to get it in my mind and in my heart and in my spirit again until I see it again. Like the late evangelist William Caldwell said when he challenged his church up there in West Virginia. He said, I knew that my church needed to grow. I've told you about this church. He said it was so small, he said our Wednesday night crowd could fit in the automobile. In fact, we had our Wednesday night service in the automobile to conserve money on the utilities. He said, I knew that there was a way to grow that church, that the Lord had a plan. And I came up with this plan. He said, I told the folks, read the book of Acts through. Read the book of Acts through. He said, I thought that if we kept reading the book of Acts through again and again and again, then eventually we might be living in the book of Acts. And he said, one day it happened. He said, a man stood up and he said, pray for Pastor, because I told Sister so-and-so that's been blind for many years that Pastor's going to come with me to her house Tuesday, and Pastor's going to pray, and she's going to be healed. Well, Pastor Caldwell said, yes, indeed, pray for me. The time came. On Tuesday, they went, and there she was, blind. He said that man and Pastor sat there, and he read some scriptures on healing. And he said when he thought the time was right, he walked over to where that lady was, and he put his hands on her eyes, and he prayed, and he took his hands off her eyes, and he said, what do you see? She looked right into his eyes and said, oh, you're just a young fellow, aren't you? And then she looked across the room at the guy that invited him, and she called him by name, said, so-and-so, you have gained 40 pounds since I saw you last. Hallelujah. That began a life of miracles. William Caldwell was launched into a divine healing ministry. I'm not talking about the first century. That was the 20th century. Now we're living in the 21st century. You heard me talk about the roaring 20s probably last time I was here. In the roaring 20s in America, it was prohibition, and that fostered gang violence and crime. They talk about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre of 1929. It was a vicious, terrible, the Roaring 20s, they called it. But you know what? In that same decade of the 20s, there were divine healing ministers like... he's from Houston. I'll think of it here in a minute. But yes, it's coming to me. Well, let's talk about Smith Wigglesworth. Let's talk about Amy Simple McPherson. Let's talk about, I'm still trying to get it. Charles S. Price. Charles S. Price had a revival in Bellevue, Illinois. and in a 10-day crusade had 10,000 converts. P.C. Nelson got in the Pentecostal movement back in those days, and he said, I went to the Bosworth Brothers revival in Canada and saw the greatest move of God that I'd ever seen. He personally saw blind eyes open. He personally prayed with people when their ears came unstopped. I'm telling you, all of these things took place in the roaring 20s. I'm saying, Lord, do it again. I've heard it one time, but I keep reading it, and I keep encouraging myself, Lord, if you've done it then, do it again. Is the church going to be in revival when the rapture takes place, or is the church just going to go out in a whimper? Are we just going to be almost backslidden and can't really encourage anybody? Nobody's interested in coming to the house of God anymore. I pray, Lord Jesus, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Oh, I left you off where Peter and John were standing before the Sanhedrin, didn't I? They were Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. And so what got under their skin was that by preaching the name of Jesus, Peter and John were preaching the resurrection, which they didn't believe in. They said, don't preach it anymore. And Simon Peter, and this is one of those wonderful places in the Bible that it says, and Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said. And Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said. My, my, my. He said, is it better to obey y'all than to obey God? We're just going to obey God. Because we can only, let me read it so I don't misquote it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Only thing we can testify about. The only thing we can preach, my dear friend, the only thing that we can share is what we have seen and heard. So Jesus said to John's disciples, go show John what you have experienced by two of your natural senses. Now I believe, and I think I've read this in Bosworth, he talks about faith as maybe a sixth sense. Because the just walk not by sight, but by faith. I know that unbelief is the opposite of faith, but sometimes sight is the opposite of faith. Because most of the time when God gives you a promise, you don't see it yet. And your outward experience, what you touch, see, hear, smell, taste, contradict what God's promise said. It's almost that way in almost every miracle. From the Red Sea splitting to the manna supplied every day to this man walking, rising and walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. It all starts before you and I see it. But my, once you've seen it, all you can tell is what you have seen and heard. So for the last few moments today, I'm going to just share a few things that I have seen and heard. I'm going to share what I heard from my wife, Jelaine, when she was 15 years of age and almost 16. She suffered from warts. She had them on every finger on both hands. Oftentimes, she would have them burned off or frozen off at the doctor. She said it was a very painful experience, as you can imagine. There was a musical group that came to her daddy's church in East Texas on a Sunday morning. And in that service, my soon-to-be wife, or my future-to-be wife, was gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. The next morning was her birthday. And so her mom came in bringing her a birthday gift. And Jelaine reached out to receive it. And her mama, Jane, said, Jelaine, have you seen your hands? Have you looked at your hands? Look at your hands. Jelaine looked at her hands. There was not one wart on any finger on either one of her hands. She didn't even ask for that. But she was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord baptize her in the Spirit and heal her body, my dear friend. I just want to encourage you. I only want to tell you what I have seen and heard. Praise the Lord. I probably told you this last time I was here, but my little sister, when she was in grade school, had epilepsy. And we brought her to First Assembly of God in Raton, where I grew up. And my pastor, Brother Eldridge, anointed her with oil, according to James chapter 5, laid hands on her and prayed. And Brother Eldridge told me after the service, he said, "When I prayed for your sister, I felt something go out of me into her. And I know that the Lord has touched her." Well, she never had another seizure. My little sister's in her 60s today and has never had a seizure from grade school until this time. And I told the guys at Teen Challenge this last week, my sister, and she, this is her words, she said, "I was a drug addict for 47 years and Jesus saved me." And now she's been a Christian, a radical, born again, on fire Christian for 5 years. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this same Jesus that ascended into the heavens, he's still sitting on the Father's right hand. He's still giving gifts. My, the Holy Ghost, he sent the Holy Ghost, and now the Holy Ghost is the giver of the gifts. My, read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's all by the same Spirit, the gifts that he gives us. Praise the Lord. Jelaine was a teenager, and she was a group of aimers. How many of you are old enough to remember what aimers were? Is it still current? Ambassadors in Missions. It's an Assembly of God program. Young people go to the mission field. And Jelaine went with a bunch of North Texas aimers to Costa Rica. And she said there was a couple in the church where they were ministering that got saved. Brand new, born again. And they had a baby that was paralyzed. And the pastor said, "The same Jesus that saved you can heal your baby." And so they just were simple enough to believe what the pastor said. And they brought the baby. And Jelaine said you could tell the baby was totally limp. The limbs were totally limp of the child. And all of those aimers and that missionary gathered around. And they laid hands and started praying. And my wife saw it with her own eyes. She said instantly the little arms and the little feet and the legs started moving on that baby. That baby was instantly healed. I just want to tell you what I've seen and what I've heard. And I want to see it again. And I want to hear it again. I want to be right in the middle of it. Praise the Lord. I have a book in my library that is one of my favorites. It is called Like a Prairie Fire, which is the history of the Oklahoma District of the Assemblies of God. One of the greatest miracles ever, I think, documented and recorded is in that book. Happened the years 1977 and 78. A man named W.G. Baker was the Sunday school director of the Oklahoma District. He had terrible ulcerated stomach. He had 5 operations on his stomach. And let me read it so that I don't leave anything out. 5 major surgeries in a period of 2 months. He received 20 pints of blood within a 24-hour period. And in the last surgery, his stomach was completely removed, 100% removed. They attached a bag on the end of his esophagus, and he was in constant pain. The night before, and he was he was 5 months in intensive care. The night before another life-saving surgery, his wife, and I'll get her name here, Doris, was attending a service at Lakeside Assembly in Oklahoma City. The Lord moved on her to request prayer for her husband, a new stomach. And she said to herself, "That's impossible. I can't request that." And so she didn't. But then before the meeting dismissed, the Spirit of the Lord prompted her again. And so she said, "All right, could y'all pray for me, for my husband, a brand new stomach?" And she said, we all gathered and prayed. And she said, this is her words, heaven came down. I was preaching this in Tyler, telling this story in Tyler. And the pastor's wife in Tyler said, I know Doris. I knew her. Hallelujah. And then Leslie Thompson, that pastored in Denison, when we pastored in Jacksonville, he was there the day after that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Brother Thompson was in Brother Baker's hospital room. And he said, when I came in, Brother Baker was weeping. And I said, Brother Baker, what's wrong? He said, they told me that bag is turned loose on the end of my esophagus. They're going to have to go in and perform another surgery. Brother Thompson said, Brother Baker, do you believe that God could perform a creative miracle and heal you? He said, yes, I believe it, but he was in a lot of pain. So they prayed. And the doctors, before they did that surgery, did a final x-ray and said they saw what appeared to be a miniature, the same shape of a miniature human stomach on that end of that esophagus that grew into a replacement supernatural stomach for W.G. Baker. He got out of the hospital. He served 10 more years in the district office. He would preach on the weekends and give his testimony. And he'd say, if y'all don't believe it, I'll go with you and eat a steak at lunch to prove it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That wasn't the first century. That was the 20th century. Have you received any miracles? Has God done anything for you in the 21st century? I'm telling you, we need to say it again. We need to tell it again. I'm telling you, I got some grandsons that need to hear it. I got some granddaughters that need to hear it, my dear friend. It's real. And some of us, when you get my age, you're not going to be around here too much longer. You've got to perpetuate this message, my friend. We've got to hold up Jesus before this coming generation. My, or all is lost. But Jesus is coming. Stand with me if you would please. Brother Oliver, if you wouldn't mind, come back to the instrument. Father, we need you today. We need you, but we're so grateful that you are here by your agent, the Holy Spirit. The supernatural third person of the divine Trinity is here. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, because you said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. Lord, I don't lift you up in crucifixion today, but I want to lift you up in glorification, in admiration. Lord, I want to magnify your name, Lord, in telling these folks what you have done. Lord, some of these things that I have seen myself and some of these things that I have heard myself, not just read about, but thank God for the things that I've even read about. And I pray, Lord, in the wonderful name that's above every name, that you would impart faith to somebody in this house to reach out and believe God for something from Jesus, from the knowledge of Jesus that pertains to life and godliness. Lord, if it's provision, I know you are the God of provision. Hallelujah. If it's healing, I know you're a God that heals. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Jesus is well. Praise the Lord. I know that we've prayed for the sick. But is there anybody else that you just raise your hand? Say, I need healing in my body. Whole bunch of hands up. I got my hand up. There's a few little things that I need healed in my body. You know what? All it takes is one person for the Lord to impart faith to one person in this congregation, and miracles of healing will take place right here. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm going to ask, well, let me ask this too. Well, first of all, those of you that just raised your hand, if you feel comfortable in doing it, come on and let's come to the front. I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to ask you all to pray for me here in a minute. These that raise their hand for healing in their body are coming. Is there anybody here today that you'd say, I haven't even got to first base yet. I'm not even a Christian. I need Jesus. If I'm transparent this morning, there's sin in my account. And I know that sin cannot get into heaven. And so if I exit this life in this state, I'm going to be lost. And I don't want to be lost. I don't want that to be the last chapter in my life. So pray for my salvation. If that's you, would you courageously lift your hand up? Anybody. You don't care what anybody thinks about you. I'm not right with God. I need to get right. I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. If that's you, would you lift a hand right up? Anybody. I gotta speed up my delivery today. Hallelujah. Does anybody need finances? Hallelujah. Anybody need provision? Would you lift your hand? I need provision, yes. Do y'all mind coming and joining this congregation right here at the front? Brother Pastor, I'm going to call, if it's okay, you and your prayer team again. Prayer team, would you come and stand in front of these candidates for healing today? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe it's something I didn't even touch on. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a relational need. Whatever. Remember, whatever pertains to life and godliness, we can have through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything that you need that pertains to life and godliness? Get it from Jesus today. Would you come and get it from Jesus today? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Those of you remaining in the congregation, would you please stretch your hand forward? And also let me say that these altars are open. If you would like to come, I'd love for you to come and spend some time kneeling in the altar and praying. My, those wonderful altar services. Those wonderful altar services. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. That's right. He's here. Do you sense him? Do you sense him? My, I'm telling you, I sense the warm flow of the river of God. The warm flow of the river of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. It's you, Lord.